Hi everyone, and a big welcome to the Living with SMA podcast. We talk about all things spinal muscular atrophy related, but topics discussed are not exclusively for individuals with SMA, so there should be something here for everyone. We also do things differently. For starters, our charity SMA UK uses different hosts, and everyone involved gets a final say in the creative process of making these episodes. We cut through the jargon, and the content is accessible for everyone. All the stories are individual, and we are committed to sharing as many different perspectives as we can for our listeners. So if you're listening to this and have a burning desire to talk about a particular subject, then please reach out to us on our social media channels or send us a quick email. And remember, no topic is off the table. If there is something the SMA community wants to talk about, this is the place. We really hope you enjoy the podcast, and please do connect with our charity and share your comments online and let us know what you think. From all the team at SMA UK, thank you for listening.
Hello everybody, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Living with SMA podcast. You're joining us here today where we're going to be talking about a brand new subject. We're going to be discussing the right mindset, and that is the title of today's discussion. Before I jump into anything regarding our guests today, I just want to give a quick little trigger warning, just to let you know that the conversations that we're going to be discussing today are of a sensitive nature regarding mental health and mindset. So just want to give you that initial warning. The conversations are going to be surrounding mental health and disability, etc. But these conversations are not solely for the SMA community specifically. You know, mental health is a broad subject, and whatever we discuss today can be applied to anybody in everyday life. So just a little warning for you there before we jump into our conversations. So let's kick things off with introductions. I've got two guests joining me today, one familiar face and one not so familiar face. So this is very exciting. I'll kick things off whilst I'm still talking. I might as well. So for those that don't know, my name is Ross Lannan. I'm 29 years old and I live in Cornwall. I have SMA myself and I run a disability blog called A Life on Wheels, as well as hosting a radio show. I'm now going to hand over to our second familiar face, Mr. Louis. How are you?
Oh, I'm very good, thank you. Very good, thank you. Hello, everyone. And again, for those of you who don't know, I'm Louis, I'm 37, I have SMA type 2. Majority of my time is spent as a business development executive for a D&I consultancy firm, and I also do part-time hours for SMA UK as a podcast and events assistant, and I'm based in Southeast Essex.
Fantastic. And Anna?
Hi everybody. My name is Anna Lee. I'm 28. I have an SMA type 2. I'm from Ukraine. I'm new here in England, and I'm an artist. I practice contemporary art.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, so we've got our team assembled, and let's jump into the topic then, guys, because today's topic, like I said, is we're titling this The Right Mindset. So before we came here today, I wanted to know, what does mindset mean? And I had a little search according to the Oxford language in the dictionary. The mindset is an established set of attitudes held by someone. That's the official title, but I want to know, what does mindset mean to you? Louis, can I kick off with you?
Yeah, sure. So whilst I agree with the definition, because I guess it is all about attitude, for me it's about making sure that I'm in the right frame of mind to cope with any situation that I have. So as someone with SMA, I obviously face challenges from my condition. So I've realized the older that I'm getting, the power that my attitude or mindset has towards life has really dictated how well I cope in certain situations. It's also helped me to overcome a lot of negative occurrences in my life and barriers that I've faced, which I'm sure we'll get into later. Ultimately, it's how I perceive my situation or my life or my feelings.
Yeah. And Anna, sort of similar question to you. When we talk about mindset, what does that mean to you?
I think it's something similar than you were discussing recently. Because yes, it's about attitude towards life, towards everything, and it's something that unchangeable inside you, because everything around us can change, and sometimes life is good, sometimes life is completely mess. But when your attitude to your life is stable, and you are stable and positive too.
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing to note from today, is that everyone's going to have a different outlook. I think for me, mindset is all about your personal outlook on life and how you deal and manage with that. So, you know, we're here today to share our personal experiences, but everybody's different. Everybody copes with things differently. But the one thing that we all have in common is that we all have mental health, because I think that's something that we sometimes forget, isn't it? Mental health has got this, the word itself has almost like this stigma to it. But just like physical health, mental health, we all have it. Louis, is that a statement that you sort of agree with? You know, you've said to me before, mental health doesn't discriminate, does it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a firm believer of that. Anyone, even at their greatest of high-flying times, can be affected by something that can immediately change their attitude towards life. And I think the challenge that we face with society is that everyone has this expectation of, we always have to be okay, and we always have to show a positive outlook to the world, because if we're vulnerable and we show people that we're struggling, they can somehow maybe use that against us or use it to their advantage. And I think when you're in a position when you can identify that negative space and know how to handle it, it can actually be a very empowering experience. Once you take ownership of that, no one can use it against you. No one can take advantage of it. So absolutely, mental health is something that shouldn't be used as a negative word or have a negative connotation, because mental health can be, you have a very healthy mental state of mind, and you're always positive, and you're always trying to see the silver lining to the dark clouds that might be above you. It doesn't have to mean that, oh, well, there's a major problem here and this person's not coping.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Mental health has this stigma that it's always negative, but actually there's a lot of people who have positive mental health out there as well. And sort of as we go on sort of later into the podcast, we'll be talking about some of those positive attitudes as well. Anna, the one thing that brings us all here together today, the thing that sort of connects the three of us, is the fact that we all have SMA, and disability in general can have an impact on our mindset. Can you tell me a little bit about how your disability has affected your mindset?
Oh, yes. I think that my disability affected me a lot, especially in childhood. You know, I'm originally from Ukraine, and unfortunately, in Ukraine, we don't have accessible schools or accessible environment and transport. And I think that I was more in isolation than something with somewhere with people almost all the time. And yes, it had a huge impact on my mindset. And then I graduated from university, and I started to practice art. And when I found my partner, and we were starting living together with him, and I think that my mindset has changed.
Yeah, and Louis, sort of similar to you and your situation, because you're originally sort of from South Africa, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Are you sort of linking to Anna's story with Ukraine and feeling that isolation? Is that something you can relate to?
Absolutely. So as I've shared before in previous episodes, that South Africa is not as well equipped as the UK is and some of the other places in the world in terms of transport and public infrastructure. And it can be a very isolating experience. I think the parts of my South African life that I am grateful for is that I had an amazing partner who really facilitated me going places. And we don't have equipment, so when my carer wasn't around, my partner would be lifting me herself and putting me in the car, and we would go and do things. And I think before that, it was very isolating and very challenging. I guess you're forced to adapt to that environment. So there were always occasions where myself and my carer would go places, and we would probably do things that health and safety regulators in the UK would cringe at. But we did it because we wanted to achieve things and not just be stuck in the four walls of our home.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's most obvious from what we're talking about here is that there are external factors that can really affect our mindset. One of those being our environment. You know, you guys have mentioned, you know, the country having an impact. You know, there's so many factors that can affect our mental health and mindset, whether that's our health, the environment, our financial situations. How did you manage to deal with those barriers, Anna?
I think that I only was moving on, and I was fighting every day. Every single day I was doing the things that I do always, and that's only the way, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to mention here, there's a difference, isn't there, between when we're talking about mental health, there's a difference between low mood and clinical depression. So we don't want to sort of blur those lines. From my own personal experience, I've been very lucky in the sense that I feel like I have quite good mental health. I've been fortunate enough never to need clinical help as such, but many people do need that help.
Yes, and I also had experience with depression, and I was speaking with therapists for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely relate to that. So I think it's also important to mention that when clinical advice or help is needed, that it is sometimes not always accessible. you know, I've had a kind of a roller coaster start to my life, and there were some very good times, and there were also some very bad times when, looking back now, I would probably say that I was very depressed. I guess the challenge was that I didn't really have anyone to talk to. Due to circumstances, my home environment wouldn't allow me to go to a parent to talk about it, let's not go into that, but I think the challenge is when we're at that level, and we feel like we don't have any answers or options, it's very hard to overcome that barrier if we don't have access to clinical assistance, and it can be a very scary situation to be in.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for us today to talk about these challenges that we've faced on a personal level, because sharing our experiences, and you know, we're all here today to tell the story. I think that's the most important thing to focus on. So, I mean, probably in my personal experience, one of the biggest challenges I faced in terms of mindset was, I pride myself on being a very positive person. You know, on my blogging platform, a lot of the content that I put out is 90% positive, because I want people to see the positive side of disability. I'm very much all about that media representation in a positive light. However, that comes with a price, because you have to be real as well. And I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. You know, we all have good days, we all have bad days. I think that's all part of being a human. But I think when you have a disability, that's obviously heightened. But let's talk about those experiences. Anna, I want to touch on your most recent experience, if you don't mind. Obviously, with everything that's going on in the world at the moment, the devastating war in Ukraine, you've recently moved to the UK. So what effect has that had on your mindset?
I didn't realize this effect for several months, because it's a very long process. When the war started, I was so shocked, and I was so full of thoughts about what should I have do, and where do I go and stay, and I need to start new life from the beginning. And so I was so shocked. And now when more than half a year passed, I realized that, yes, it had huge impact on me, because it's always difficult when you have everything new around you. New environment, new language, new people, even new food and water. And but I think that I have one secret about this. One of my inner value is resilience. I'm really into this, and I want to challenge the new problems every day, and I like it. It's better than focusing on goals, because in this ever-changing life, focusing on goals can destroy you. But when you are focusing in your inner values, it helps you and relieve the power.
I think that's a lovely outlook as well. And using that word resilience is really powerful there, because you know, from a personal opinion, you know, what you've been through recently is a humongous change. And I think we all here admire the what you've had to go through, and the fact that you've managed to, you know, keep that resilience, I think is fantastic.
I'm trying to every day.
Louis, do you think that resilience within us as disabled people comes from the fact that, you know, we are constantly faced with these barriers and these challenges throughout our everyday life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we talk about resilience, as Anna mentioned, it's a secret weapon, actually. I think it's a unique skill that we have to we're almost forced to develop, because without creativity and without resilience, there are many barriers that society has put up and our environment has put up for us as people with disabilities that we find workarounds to or find ways to overcome those challenges. I think, you know, whilst Anna's story is, I guess, a sad story because of what's happening in her home country, she has still managed to make something of herself, and she's managed to, as she said, face the challenges and push herself to achieve the things she wants to achieve in life and to live the life the way that she wants to. And I think my story is in a way a little bit similar to Anna's, because I grew up with my mum and my grandparents talking about the UK, because this is where they're originally from. And from a very young age, I said that I wanted to come and live in the UK, but it took a very long time to be financially stable enough to do it. And if it wasn't for my partner, I probably still would be in South Africa, because I don't think it would have been possible on my own to get to the UK. But, you know, 2 years ago, actually 3 years ago, we decided that it's time to, you know, take that leap of faith and do what we wanted to do, which was relocate to the UK. So we sold everything that we owned in order to be able to afford to come to the UK. And, you know, my partner came over a year before I came over, and that's a year that we were apart. We only had video communication to sustain our relationship, which wasn't easy. But again, resilience helped us to maintain that and to face that challenge of starting over again, you know?
Yeah, completely. And I think that resilience that both of you have shared in your stories, I almost feel a little bit guilty sharing my personal sort of stories here, because, I, you know, not that this is a competition in any sorts, but, you know, I've lived a very sugar-coated life. I've been very fortunate in the position the world that I've been brought up in. You know, yes, we all go through our things, but I think listening to both of your stories are really, really powerful. I think just to touch on an example from my point of view here, I think an example of resilience that really sort of tested my mindset was back when I was learning to drive. I had quite a traumatic experience learning to drive, where there was an accident with the vehicle. A couple of weeks prior to my driving test, there was a malfunction with the car, and there was an accident that ended up writing the car off, which completely threw my confidence. It threw everything. You know, I was weeks away from this life of freedom, you know, being able to drive, a disabled driver. I was so proud of all the lessons I'd had. And then to have this accident was a massive setback for me, to then have to not be able to drive for about a year or so, because there was no other adapted vehicle for me to continue learning in. then had to go down the process of getting my own vehicle, which I'm sure we all know is not a quick process. So yeah, there's just a little example from me as well about how that resilience is in us. It affects our mindset, but we carry on.
Yeah, I think, Ross, I just want to take a step back there where you were making reference to feeling guilty or that your story is not as drastic as ours. I think this is the problem that we have today with people trying to compare themselves to others, because the challenge that we have with that is if I compare my story to Anna's, I think, well, she's Anna's story is really, really powerful and she's gone through a lot. And then I look at my story and I'm like, well, what am I complaining about? Because it's not as hard as what maybe Anna has faced. But the reality is, I'm not Anna. I'm not Ross. I'm me. And what I go through is important to me. And it should be carrying the same weight as any other story, no matter what examples we give. Because the minute we start comparing, we take away the power that our story has, because we don't know who's going to hear what we're sharing today. So I think that's something that everyone should try and be conscious of, is to try and avoid that automatic thinking of, okay, my story is not as impactful as that, because your story is your story, and it's things we have to be proud of.
It's a very good point, actually. I appreciate that, and I like that as well. I think, sadly, that is true. We do live in a world where we almost compare ourselves to each other. Anna, I want to ask you, do you think that within today's society, factors such as like social media and the media in general influence our mindsets? They can really affect us.
Oh, yes, it affects us a lot, you know, because in social media, there are a lot of information about what kind you have to be, what kind your body have to be. And it has a lot of images of health body, of good body, etc. So, and I'm struggling about it, really. And I'm getting really anxious about it. And that's a point I'm working through in my art, because now I'm working on my project called The Age of Sexuality, and I want to challenge this media and these stereotypes about body, about health, about appearance. And so that's what I do.
And I think that's really important as well. I have had a look on your website, Anna, and I think the art, you know, some of your oil paintings, the photography, the projects that you've been doing are fantastic at highlighting these sort of issues within the media, isn't it? It's almost disability is kind of seen it as a negative thing in terms of, I know in your project you highlighted sexuality and attraction, but you're really highlighting that well, and I think that's a great thing for people to see in regards to mindset again.
Yeah, I think
that's something you...
I think to echo that, so something that I've learned in my diversity and inclusion role from Toby Milden, who is a diversity inclusion architect, is that there's kind of two models of disability. And what we find is that in society, there's there's an application of a medical model to the word disability. So meaning that there is something wrong with us that needs to be fixed, or there's something wrong with us that can't be fixed. And I think that's the challenge that we face when we look at social media and we look at what society does to portray our situation. Everyone thinks, okay, well, oh, shame them, or, well, what are they supposed to do? They have a disability, or what can we do to cure them? Or maybe we should, start raising funds and start doing these amazing research projects. And don't get me wrong, all of those things are great, but I think that the sooner the world starts to identify us as people and not disabled people in the medical sense, that's where the challenge comes in.
Anna, you agreed there.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And I have one very awful story from my life. When I wanted to apply to the gallery for the solo exhibition, and one of my friends go instead of me there and has shown my photograph of my works, and then the gallerist said to her then that I don't want to exhibit this artist because she is disabled and because her art have an aura which is inappropriate for my clients. So
wow. Yes. And what was your reaction to that? How did you respond or deal with it?
Oh, I realize that I must have do something, but at that time I didn't do anything, and I was only anxious, but I didn't put it into my action.
I mean, that's fair enough, because sometimes these situations are thrown upon us with no preparation or warning in it. And it's often after an event has happened that you sort of think things and you wish, oh, I wish I'd done this different, or I wish I'd said this. I think we've all been in sort of situations like that. Mm. But if anything, it's these little moments that all add up and they build that confidence, that resilience that we touched on, that help us as we grow as humans as well, that next time if something like this was to happen again, I'm sure you would probably fight it,
yes,
wouldn't you?
I will fight him.
Yeah.
You see, this is this is very key, I think, Ross. Anna has illustrated this perfectly. Anna has experienced something that was extremely negative for her at the time. And she now went through a phase where she realized that nothing will change in the world unless we do something about it. So she's now prepared herself for the next time something happens, that she knows, okay, I am confident enough, I am strong enough to now step into action and do something about a situation that is extremely negative and that could really put someone off from trying to achieve their goals. I think we as humans, and not just people with disabilities, but just people in general, are very quick to allow negative inputs and negative situations to put us off completely from the path that we chose for ourselves because of how someone maybe slighted us, or they didn't approve in our methodology, or didn't think that we were good enough. And ultimately, it comes down to yourself and what you think you're worth. And I know what I'm sharing is not something that you can just automatically find under a pillow. This is something that we have to work on a daily basis. It has to become part of our living routine. You know, we all have bad days. We all have days where we just say enough is enough. But the difference that we will see in people is those who continue to say, I can't do it anymore, and those who say, I want to try again because I know I can do that.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really important message there. Is that I think as people with disabilities, we are faced with constant setbacks, constant barriers and things. And if anything, that's made us into these, you know, I don't want it to sound cliche, but these superheroes that have had to fight for things. And now it's like, as we get older, it's confidence, isn't it? A lot of it comes down to growth, time, and confidence. So like you said, Anna, you know, if something like this was to happen again, you're probably in a better mindset now, aren't you, to deal with that?
Yes. Now I have enough power to fight, to do something with that. And yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move the conversation on then to how we manage to deal with these situations that arise. You know, let's move on to a more positive note. You know, when these situations arise, Louis, what's your go-to coping mechanisms to almost cheer yourself up after a bad situation?
Wow, that's a really hard question to answer. So I guess ultimately it depends on the situation, but I am at a point in my life where I think I've said this before in the previous podcast, but I have come to this conclusion that I'm the definition of unstoppable. And what I mean by that is I have this ambition to prove to myself, to prove to the close ones around me and to anyone else who wants to look at my story, that nothing will get in my way if I put my mind to it. And that is my core strength is knowing that that's who I am and knowing that that's what I want to achieve from my life. You know, the challenge is I don't get to that conclusion and that phase of my life without being vulnerable. Without me being vulnerable and really, really looking at how I react to situations, what has worked previously for me to get over that slump. It's a journey. It's not something that you just flick on like a switch. It comes from life experiences and it comes from learning from situations and learning from mistakes that you made previously. You know, well, before I start sounding like a motivational speaker who only has positive things happening in his life, there are times when I get stuck, like everyone else. And that's usually when I have a kick in the bum from my partner to say, you're being silly, you're better than this, pick yourself up in inverted commas, yeah, and move on. You know, I've been very lucky that through different phases of my life, there were people who did that for me. And I know that when you're down and out, it can be a very lonely space because you feel like no one understands. You feel like that there are no alternatives and there are no options. So whenever I get the opportunity to share my story, I jump into it with both feet because if I can help change one person's perspective at a time, it means that I'm succeeding. You know, I'm helping people to see the wood from the trees.
Yeah, completely agree. And I love the unstoppable quote there as well. Like, I just think that's a fantastic outlook. For me personally, I think the main coping mechanism or the thing that really helped me manage my overall mindset is self-care. I think there's been a big, there's definitely a lot more awareness of that now. And it's definitely something I sort of practice. I'm all about self-care now. Like if I've had a bad day, say I come home from work or I've been stressed about something, I know that I need to prioritize and make some me time and do the things that really make me happy, because otherwise that slump will just get deeper and deeper and it will go into the next day and it's only going to build up and get worse. So yeah, I want to emphasize self-care here because we've all got different methods of self-care. For me, self-care is a night at home by myself, you know, feet up, trash telly, order a takeaway, or, you know, spend some time with friends. We've all got different methods, but if I want to order that takeaway and treat myself, I'm going to do it because that is what makes me happy. Anna, coming to you along the lines of self-care and tips for anyone really who is maybe struggling with managing their mental health or their mindset. What sort of self-care tips would you recommend?
I think that it's very individual. And for someone, it could be the playing video games, maybe. And for me, it works also sometimes. And I like watching something or I like eating something very delicious. And it helps me a lot. And also, I think that it's very important to analyze your thoughts after something happened. And it helps me to write something that I've said before and to think about it. Yes, it's huge relief, I think.
Yeah.
I have a question for Anna, actually. Do you find that your art helps you to process feelings when you're going through something or feeling an emotion that is really powerful?
Yes, a lot. My art is kind of my ventilation, maybe, because you know that when something unfair happens, and not only with me, but when I see it or hear it towards anybody, and I think that I have a power inside me to challenge it, to challenge these stereotypes, to challenge this bad attitude, to unconventionality. yes, I think my art helps me too.
That's great. I think it's really important for us all to have that sort of output, whether it's in your situation, Anna, it's being creative, and that really helps you. You know, in my situation, I enjoy writing and blogging. Louis, I'm sure you have many hobbies.
Are you able to? Well, yeah, I mean, apart from being a tattoo collector, I do get a lot of enjoyment out of the things that I do. So whether it's creating videos for a YouTube channel that I kind of need to revive a little bit, or whether it's working with the SMA UK charity, you know, I get exposed to a lot of ways to contribute to the world, even in my D&I role. But I think I think ultimately it comes down to you knowing who you are, because that allows you to when things are really getting bad, to look at certain aspects of your life or certain things that you've achieved in your life to say, yeah, I actually did that, or yeah, that was me. You know, I think I've been very fortunate to have experiences that other people haven't had yet. I've been able to be part of projects that I can proudly say that I was involved in that, and that's very rewarding. And I think if we can find those little things in life that give us that little pick me up that we need every now and again, that it starts to become easier to cope when you're down and out, or you have a barrier to overcome, or you're struggling with a mental health condition.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's so easy for us all to almost overthink things in our minds sometimes, that actually to have an interest or an outlet for ourselves, something for yourself is really important. And to look back on things and be proud of yourself, because we've all come a long way from where we all were probably a few years ago, at least, you know, with the pandemic and everything that's gone on. Look at where we are now. I bet back then we didn't think we'd be, you know, where we are now. So it's important to remember where we've come from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think if anyone had told me 3 years ago that I would be in the UK on a podcast for SMA UK, I would have said, you're absolutely crazy.
Yes, I feel the same.
Yeah. So guys, obviously, as we bring this episode to a close now, I think it's just important to end on a note where we say and sort of encourage everyone, the fact we're having these conversations today are really important. The importance of actually having open conversations, reaching out to somebody if you are struggling with your mental health. It can really be a weight off your shoulders just to start having conversations, whether it's with a trusted friend, family member, or a colleague, whatever environment you're comfortable in. I think we just want to mention that it is really important to speak. And there are so many ways that we can signpost you for support. There's many services out there if you are struggling. You know, there's options, you know, there's counselling options, there's various charities that can provide support, such as Mind. And also the SMA outreach team as well are always here to support. On a final note, Louis, I don't know if there's anything else you would like to just add or give any sort of closing advice.
I mean, I'm going to steal a quote from a movie. Unfortunately, because I think it's very relevant to this conversation. So Denzel Washington in The Equalizer, having a conversation with a security guard who's trying to lose weight but is struggling to stay disciplined, he gets caught out eating crisps, and he then gets very bummed out or down in the moment. So Denzel Washington says to him, "Progress, not perfection," and I think that's very, very true to life, because whilst we can all try and aspire to be perfect, no one is perfect, and people sometimes can be their own worst enemy by trying to be perfect all the time. So it's about understanding that it's not about being the best you can be tomorrow or now. It's about working towards a better version of yourself every day that you're alive.
I like that. I like that a lot. And Anna, coming to you for sort of a closing statement as well.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here, and I really appreciate the help of SMA community for me, because I had a lot of questions when I arrived in the UK, and I asked all these questions to the guys from SMA chat, and they helped me a lot. And you know, whenever you are, also kind people, thoughtful people are surrounding you, and that's amazing. That's a very important thing. And I want to end my speaking with my favorite quote of André Breton, French surrealistic writer, who said, resilience is only a little spark, but this spark is looking for gunpowder.
Oh, what a fantastic way to end our episode today. You two have put me to shame, ending on quotes. I have no quotes to hand. I have been royally shown
I'm
up.
Sorry.
But it's been fantastic speaking with you both. And I think just having these conversations, like we said, are really important. And it highlights the importance of finding a community and speaking to people who it can really help you just to voice those concerns. So thank you very much. And to everyone who's listening, again, if you are struggling with your mindset, please do reach out for some support. This has been the Living with SMA podcast, and we will see you again very soon.
You've been listening to the Living with SMA podcast. We hope you can join us again next time, but in the meantime, don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can find out more on our website at smauk.org.uk.